God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our gospel reading, our Old Testament reading, from Deuteronomy chapter 8, especially verse 3. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. "And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you known that men does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." This is our text. As we approach this Thanksgiving evening, or the evening before Thanksgiving, sometimes we're asked at the Thanksgiving table, what are you thankful for? So this evening, let me just start with that question so that in case that that is a tradition in your family, you just get a little bit of a head start. What are you thankful for? Now, I will admit I can't mind read, but some of you may be thinking about maybe good health. Maybe you're thinking of, I'm able to breathe today. Maybe you're thinking, well, you know, things are not that bad. Maybe it's for family. Maybe it's for friends. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I just got that new toy for Christmas and I'm really happy. Sometimes we're thankful for, you know, our house, our home, and some other things. But in our text for today, from Moses writes for us to know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What are you thankful for? Be careful what words come out of your mouth. Because, let me just beg the question, what if what you were thankful for was missing? What would happen if you found yourself without your top three or top five list of what you're thankful for? Whatever it may be. What happens if you found out that the turkey was ruined? You have no friends or family. You're on the verge of bankruptcy. You have nothing left but the clothes on your back. Would tomorrow still be a happy Thanksgiving? Could you truly celebrate and be thankful? Most of us would probably throw a pity party for ourselves. But to be truly thankful, we might say, but Pastor, what would there be thankful for? Well, we could say our health, but maybe even that was failing. The point that I'm trying to get at is that our Old Testament reading, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, was even quoted by Jesus. It was quoted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and strangely enough, in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. At the time that Jesus was tempted by Satan to take ordinary stone and change it to bread. Man does not live by bread alone. But if you take a look at your thankful list, does it measure up to God's list? Because let me tell you what's on top of God's list that He's thankful for. If you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's thankful that you will be with Him in heaven above. He is giving you this gift of faith by His grace. He wants everyone to be with Him in heaven above. So why isn't that the first thing that's on our list to be thankful for? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Is living by God's grace at the top of our list? If not, what happens when that top thing is taken away? Is Thanksgiving ruined? As we take a look at our text, especially this verse, we see a special nuance here. Let's first of all unpack this verse. It begins, "And He humbled you." That He is referring to God and God humbling you. What does it mean to be humbled by God? Basically, to come to a point that you admit that you are a sinner. You've fallen short of God's glory. Being humbled, especially picking up from 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 9, which says, "Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself." Notice what's happening here. God is breaking down our pride. breaking down our bragging rights, so to speak. Why? Because whatever comes out of our mouth on what we are thankful for, if it's not God's grace, whatever that item may be, strangely enough, that almost becomes an idol. What's the most important thing in your life that you would be thankful for, right? But if the most important thing in your life is not God's grace, maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a new house, a new toy, a new relationship. That becomes an idol. It detracts us from God's grace. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 begins, "And he humbled you and let you hunger." Now I want to do a little bit of a parallel between humbled and hunger. Yes, they both start with the letter H, but that's probably the only easy parallel we can come up with. Except for, with being humbled, you have the concept of penitence. Being hungered, you have that hunger pain within you, your stomach churning, saying, when am I next going to be fed? Well, so is the same true with penitence. When's the next time we're going to be fed with God's grace to receive His mercy? That's what it means to have that penitent heart. A heart that longs for. A heart that really wants, at all costs, to be forgiven, to be saved. Needless to say, what does our text say? After he humbled you and he hungered you, maybe a better way of describing that, what did he do? He fed you. He fed you with manna, which you did not know. Of course, this is talking about the Exodus event. As the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, they were fed with bread from heaven called manna. We are also fed, those of us with penitent hearts, with the grace that comes from God. And please note that it says, "Nor did your fathers know." The people coming out of Egypt didn't have any clue that they were going to be fed with manna. Likewise, before God's grace came into our own life, we didn't know about being fed with God's grace, satisfying the penitent heart, satisfying our soul, bringing us to be with Him in eternal life. Our text continues, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. What is God trying to teach us here? That there's more to life than just the toys, more to life than just the possessions, than the clothes, than the profession, than the house, than the car. All those things are temporal things, and they can be destroyed in a flash, in a moment. One nuclear bomb and it's all gone. Is that life? After one nuclear bomb, there is no life. But, if we understand that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, if we understand that there's more to life than the temporal things around us, now we have true life. So let me go back to my question. What are you thankful for? Seems in our lives, too often we do get focused upon the temporal things, the temporal goods. We may even see this in the ancient tombs, especially in the pyramids. They tried to take some of the temporal goods with them to heaven above or wherever they thought they were going. And so they'd be packed with a lot of treasures. Sometimes they'd even be packed with servants alive at that time. But can we take those possessions with us? The answer is no. But something that's just as sacred as possessions that sometimes become an idol, what about relationships? I know I'm going to stand on very shaky grounds, especially for true animal lovers. But if you are a true animal lover and you are dedicated to that special pet, what happens when that pet dies? Don't you want that pet with you in heaven above? Can you take it with you? Not to pick on marriage, especially for those who've been married for a long period of time and enjoy the company of husband and wife? Can you take your spouse with you? Jesus says, guess what? In heaven, there's not going to be this marriage concept as we have here. We can't take our possessions. We can't take those relationships. We might start asking ourselves, why do I want to be in heaven? And when we start asking ourselves that question, what we're really saying to ourselves is, I'd rather trust in the things that I know around me than God's grace. Again, let's go back to God's grace. Why does God's grace need to be there? Number one in our list? Plain and simple, no matter how good your relationships are or how poor, no matter how many possessions you have or how few, you can't take it with you to heaven. So what our world thinks makes a happy, wonderful life for Thanksgiving Day, God basically will answer that with one simple question. Do you understand my grace? Do you understand the forgiveness of sins? Do you understand Jesus and his death and resurrection, that he died for you? If so, then this is a happy Thanksgiving Day that we'll celebrate tomorrow, because we're destined to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. But if that grace doesn't come off at the top of our lips as number one, we have to be careful. Now, to be fair, God has to dance a little bit of a careful line here. You see, God wants to give us many blessings, except for there's a problem. We sometimes get too attached to these blessings, and they steer us away from Him. So how does God balance that? Well, He knows your heart. He knows your soul. He knows what goes on in your mind. And in one essence, He wants to give you a lot of things, but if that traps you, if that consumes you, if that draws you away from Him and His grace, He might say, guess what, I really don't want that to happen for you. He would rather have you to be with Him in heaven above. Now, some of us may say that may sound like a selfish God, but it's not. It's a God who says, I want you to live and not die when this world dies. There is more to life than possessions and relationships. Yes, we are thankful to God that He has given us and blessed us indeed with a lot of these things. But let us not lose sight of the grace that He gives to us. That grace that creates life. So this upcoming Thanksgiving, around the table, if someone asks, what are you thankful for? Well, you could tell them to download the sermon from the internet from tonight. You can tell them that you're thankful that God saved you and redeemed you. He has given you that grace. You have the forgiveness of sins. And then you can go into the rest of your relationships, your toys, your possessions, whatever you see fit. But we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And Moses and the Lord is trying to remind us something really special. God wants you. What's at the top of His list? What is God really thankful for? He's thankful that you have received this grace, that you belong to Him, that you'll be with Him in heaven above. That's what God's truly thankful for. So on this Thanksgiving Eve, the eve before Thanksgiving, we celebrate God's gift of grace. We come before Him with hearts, penitent hearts, saying, Lord, I need more of Your grace. Help me to appreciate that grace. Help me to share that grace. Because if I could just sort of add one little tidbit here. After Christmas is over, I can tell you pretty much the discussion that's going to be on the kids in our child care center. The discussion will be, this is what I got for Christmas. This is what I'm so happy about. This is what I'm so proud about. This is what I'm thankful for. More than likely, it's probably some new toy they got under the Christmas tree. But that's where kids are at. But what about you? What are you thankful for? In His name, amen. Now this peace of God that does surpass all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.